This is the homily for the first Sunday of Advent, 2025, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass are the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 to 44. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
Quando haec erunt et quod signum adventus tui? When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming? These words are not from today's gospel. We heard Brother Dunstan read from Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 44. But I deliberately chose words from earlier in Matthew 24, where the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible places the heading, Signs of Jesus' Coming and the Close of the Age. The passage I chose from Matthew 24, verse 3 says this, Quando haec erunt, et quod signum adventus tui? Quod signum, what sign? The disciples asked Jesus. Quod signum adventus tui? What is the sign of your coming? And our Lord answers their question by recalling the days of Noah. Ordinary people living ordinary lives, utterly unaware that judgment was approaching, until the waters rose up and swept them away. Watch, therefore, the Lord commands, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. This is how the Church begins her new liturgical year, in vigilance and watchfulness, with sober awareness that the Lord is on his way. Yet here is the mystery. The very one who tells us to watch for his coming is already present to us in so many ways. We are here this morning because we know his voice. We have received his mercy and have met him in the grace of the sacraments, because he is not ever far away from us. And for that reason, because always we begin again, we can say this morning, Happy New Year. Because the Church liturgically begins today, 2026, a full month and a day before the world catches up with the Church, who always lives in the anticipation of Christ's Adventus in glory. But if we are honest, Advent is difficult to keep. Thanksgiving was just a couple of days ago, and now everywhere we go, Christmas has already arrived. The music, the decorations, the lights. Our culture has no interest in waiting, and it becomes spiritually hard to resist being swept along. Yet Advent is a season to recalibrate our orientation to who God is, and to whom we are supposed to be in him. What does this recalibration look like? We must create space every day. I suggest 3 minutes out of 24 hours, 3 minutes in a day in honor of the Holy Trinity, where we are still, and the only thing we think about is our breath, and the breath of God, that is the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. When we do this, we can push back the premature noise of Christmas in November, and instead watch, wait, listen, and pray. And that leads to three questions I had thought about in what to say in this homily. What is Advent? Where does the term come from? What kind of season is this? Hopefully by the end we will have answered these questions. So what does Advent mean? You all know well that I teach at St. Anselm's Abbey School, so be prepared. I'm going to get pretty technical and go into the weeds of grammar and etymology. The word Advent comes from the Latin adventus that I read as I began the homily. Quod signum adventus tui? What sign of your coming? When the disciples ask how they will know when Jesus comes again in glory. Adventus, from ad, toward or to, in the direction of, and venire, to come. So together, advenire is to come toward. But what adventus, the T-U-S ending? Don't think that I'm all that smart. I don't teach Latin. So I had to look this up. But the tus ending indicates a past participle noun. So together, adventus is a noun, a coming, an arrival, or the act of having come. The disciples thus ask, when will we know that you have come? What will its sign be? The word Adventus is the Latin Vulgate for the Greek word parousia, a compound word from two separate parts. Just like Adventus, we have parousia. So para, in Greek, meaning beside, alongside, in the presence of, or with. And para implies nearness or presence alongside someone. And usia, a very powerful word, meaning being, existence, substance, derived from the verb eimi in Greek, which we see in John's Gospel when Jesus says metaphorically seven different times, ego eimi, plus a predicate. I am the bread of life, John 6. I am the light of the world, John 8. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, both in John 10. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. And I am the true vine, John 15. But seven more times, without a predicate, he uses the absolute I am. John 4:26. Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus says to her, the one speaking with you, I am. John 6:20, walking on the water, I am, do not be afraid. In one of the newer translations, it is me. No, it's not, it is me. I am in Greek. John 8:24, alluding to his death. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And four verses later, talking about his death. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. John 8:58, before Abraham came to be, I am. And this is what got him in trouble with the Pharisees. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. So for Jesus to say before Abraham came to be, I am, then God no longer is one because there's a man standing right in front of them. And for them, that was blasphemy. John 13, at the Last Supper. After washing the feet of the disciples and foretelling his betrayal, Jesus says, when it happens, you may believe that I am. And finally, John chapter 18, three times, verses 5, 6, and 8. In the garden, when Judas betrays our Lord and he is arrested, Jesus asks, whom do you seek? And they answer, Jesus of Nazareth. And our Lord replies in Greek, I am, and a force pushes the soldiers backward, and they fall to the ground. And these I am sayings take us back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and the burning bush in Moses, the first moment in Scripture, when God identifies himself by his own being. I am who am. So remember, we are looking at the Greek term ousia, which is being, existence, or essence. And earlier this week, Pope Leo was in Turkey, celebrating the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. That is the council that says that Christ is homo ousios, with the Father. Homo, same, ousios, substance. Which is why, in the updated creed from 15 years ago in 2010, We now say that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. We used to say one in being with the Father. But theological precision prevents heresy. And so now we use one word when we had been using three. But I digress. The term parousia literally means to be alongside the presence that arrives. And the term became known to refer to Christ's final coming in glory. So from the 4th century, Advent has always pointed in two directions. Christ coming in history, Bethlehem, which we will be celebrating at Christmas, and Christ coming in majesty, which is the final judgment, and that is what he's preparing his disciples for in today's gospel. Thus, to answer the question, what is Advent? Adventus in Latin, he comes toward us. Parousia in Greek, he comes to be with us. But we must remember that Advent is not a second Lent. Yes, the vestments are violet. Yes, the Gloria is withheld. Yes, the tone is somber, reverent, and focused. But as my liturgy classes at COA taught me, Advent is not Lent, nor even Lent light, because Lent is a penitential and sorrowful season, preparing us for our Lord's passion. But Advent is watchful and joyful, preparing us for our Lord's birth. In that sense, then, perhaps the Christmas music we hear at the grocery store and the Christmas cheer we see during all the ads on social media and the commercials on TV will help in that regard. And still, the Gloria is withheld for the next 4 weeks, not because joy is forbidden, but because the Gloria belongs to the angels at Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. And unlike Lent, for Advent, the Alleluia remains, so that we can be joyful during these next 4 weeks in preparation for Christmas. In personal terms, when I think about the difference between Lent and Advent, this year, Lent was receiving news that my mom had stage 4 cancer in May, and 3 months of her steady physical decline until she died at the end of July. And Advent was the happy news I received 3 years ago, when my niece, Elizabeth, shared with the family that my mom and dad were going to be great-grandparents for the first time. And then my niece, Isabella, last year telling us that she and her husband, whose wedding I celebrated, were expecting. Preparing for death is sorrowful and penitential. Preparing for birth is joyful and full of anticipation. There is much more that I prepared, much more. Looking at today's readings where Isaiah and Paul both exhort us to watch and wait. And then I had quotations from the church fathers through the centuries. The 4th century, St. Cyril of Alexandria, 5th century, St. Augustine, 5th century, St. Pope Leo the Great, 12th century, St. Bernard, all with wisdom to help us understand what Advent means. And then I was going to speak about the 4 candles and what they mean. But this morning after Lourdes, looking over what I prepared last night, I realized that I have given a lot of food for thought already. So it's best that I wrap things up here only to conclude with this. Our world does not wait. Our world celebrates Christmas in November. And if we refuse the preparation that Advent provides, Christmas becomes spiritually empty, where God remains an abstract concept far removed from our daily lives. Yet if we keep Advent, Christmas becomes radiant, with the light of the world being born anew in our hearts and our minds. Each week's growing candlelight is a quiet declaration of what we will hear from Isaiah chapter 9 at Christmas midnight mass. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And so we return to the apostles' question, Quando haec erunt? When will these things be? Our Lord gives us no date, but he does give us a warning. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Adventus. As we step into this new liturgical year, may we resist the premature noise of the world and let our hearts grow brighter, candle by candle, week by week, for him who comes. Christ our light, Christ our judge, Christ our joy. Veni ad nos et esto noviscum dum spectamus et expectemus tuam reditum. Lord Jesus, come to us and be with us as we watch and wait for your return. Amen.